I want to say, first of all, that we're glad to be back tonight. We shared last night the service. We had a wonderful time, and people was very receptive, responded real good. And we really enjoyed ministering to the people here in Orlando. How are you glad to be here tonight? Let me see your hand. Oh, that's good. That's wonderful. As far as I know, we'll be here tonight and tomorrow night, and then after that, we'll be going back to Monroe, Georgia, to catch a plane on Tuesday to go to the Holy Land to minister to the people over in Israel. So it's good to be here. It's real good to be here and feel the wonderful presence of God, to know that God loves us, and to know that God is with us, and to know that God wants to meet every need of the people. God delights in seeing you happy, seeing you healthy, and seeing you blessed and in prosperity. God delights in that. If you are not happy, then there's something wrong. How many can believe that that's true? If you're not happy tonight, there's something wrong. The Bible tells me that serving God is joy and peace and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. If you don't have that joy, something is wrong, folks. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be filled with the joy of the Lord. He wants you to be in health, and He wants you to prosper. If you're not in health tonight, something's wrong. Can you say amen? If you're not prospering in the Lord tonight, something's wrong. What's wrong? It's because of unbelief. Is that right? All right, it's good to be here tonight. It's good to feel the presence of God and to know that we're in one mind and one accord. I'm thankful. They sang the song, I'm thankful. Last night, I never held very long. I never preached to the people very long. It isn't because I can't preach a long time. Sometimes I preach maybe 4 hours or longer. But you don't have to get afraid. I guess I preached 40 minutes last night, maybe at the moment. But I want to read just a little bit from the second chapter of the book of Revelation. If you've got your Bibles, you can read along with me tonight. You know, it's a good practice to bring a Bible to church. That's a good practice. Now, if you've got the scripture in your heart, that's all right. You know, if you really, truly know that you've got it in your heart. But I'm not talking about memorizing a verse, but I'm talking about knowing the Bible. If you've read the Bible till you know the Bible and you've got it in your heart, then it's all right not to, you know, keep a Bible with you. But otherwise, it's good to have a Bible with you. All right? Chapter 2, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hath borne, and hath patience, and for my name's sake hath labored, and hath not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You notice here, one of the things that John the Revelator spoke of was the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. I like that, don't you? The tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. How many of you know that there is a tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God? There is a tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. Tonight, the Lord will be kind to me, I want to take just a few minutes tonight and exhort you and speak to you concerning the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God. Have you got time to listen a few minutes tonight? You know, it pays us to be willing to stay at the house of God a little bit, don't it? You ever heard of a man by the name of Hezekiah? Because he had been faithful to God and had served God, one day when he came to the deathbed and it looked like that he was going to leave this world, God spoke to him and sent a prophet to him. And this prophet came by and this prophet said, "Thus saith the Lord, because you have obeyed the Lord, and because you have pleased God, I'm going to add 15 years to your life." You see what I mean? If we take 15 minutes from God to leave the house of God a little early because we feel pressed in our own ambitions and desires and for our own plans, then God may take 15 years off of our life. But if we give 15 minutes to God and we please God, then God may smile upon us and put 15 years more in our life. That makes it worth listening to, don't it? Hallelujah. That's why that a lot of people are dying at an early age now. They don't have any time for God. They're too busy to go to church. They're too busy to take time to labor to give to the gospel. They're too busy for God to use them to do a little something out there in the kingdom of God. And yet they've got plenty of time to fulfill the lust of the flesh and the desires of earthly things. And consequently, it's not long before those people find themselves in a terrible environment, and suddenly death begins to close in on them, and they find that God has shortened their days by their disobedience. I want to obey God, don't you? The Bible said if you would see good days, have long life, then refrain your tongue from speaking evil. Refrain your tongue from speaking evil. Don't let it speak any guile. And then doing that, God will add years to your life. Tonight, I just want to drop in those thoughts before we really get into what we wanted to minister on tonight. But I want you to listen real close tonight now. As I said, we'll be here tonight and tomorrow night if the Lord is willing. But I want you to listen a little closer than some of you did last night. Some of you listened real good last night, but some of you could listen just a little bit closer. Folks, let me tell you something. We are at last at the end of the way. Now, I know tonight when a preacher comes along and begins to preach to you that many thoughts go through your mind. You wonder about the preacher, and you wonder what his motive is, and you wonder where he's from. You wonder what God's purpose is in his life. I know that. But it just so happens that this particular preacher happens to be acquainted with God and knows for a surety that we are at last down at the end of the way. No make-believe about it. I'm not guessing. I'm not trying to say something to stir you up, to make you pay tribute to God tonight, because you don't scare people in the gospel. If I scared you in, somebody else would come along and scare you out. So it doesn't do any good to scare people. But I'm here tonight with a more sure word of prophecy to tell you that this is the absolute of God, and that the truth is being revealed to you here tonight, and that we are the people that have come to the end of the way. And tonight, folks, I can say from the bottom of my heart, unless you've really been in touch with God, you don't know how close to the end of the way that you are tonight. I can tell that tonight by catching the spirit of some of you. I know that you don't know tonight. But I'll tell you what, if there ever was a time when people need to be stirred up, when people need to get the fear of God, when people need to wake up, when people need to suddenly realize that we're at the end of the world, it's in the hour that we're living in. There is a great calamity that's about to befall the people.
I've seen some things that's unbelievable. If somebody had told me these things a number of years ago, I wouldn't have believed it. I'd have said, no, you don't know what you're talking about. But now I know as a truth that we are the people upon whom the end of the world have come, and that we are at the end of the way, and something is about to befall the people that they've never been acquainted with before. It's a terrible hour in which we're living, folks. If you ever have in your life been stirred up for God, if you've ever made any plans for God, if you ever planned to do anything for God, it's now or never. If you don't do it now, you're not going to have a chance to do it. It's now or never. Something is beginning to happen, folks, in the earth. We're fixing to make a trip to Jerusalem this coming Tuesday. And I'm going over not to sightsee. I'm not going over for a visit. Even though I would have liked to have gone over long years ago. I'd like to have seen things many years ago in the Holy Land. But I've not gone over for a visit. I could have gone. God provided the money, but I didn't go. But I'm fixing to go over. This time I'm going over because God told me to go. And God sent me to Israel. And God told me why I'm going to Israel. And folks, I can tell you tonight that there is a great reason and a great significance that would shake the Gentile people if they understood it tonight. We are at the end of the way. We are at the end of the trail. The Bible said, and out of Zion shall come forth a deliverer, and he shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob, and the whole house of Israel shall be saved. This is a sad, sad moment. And the people are hard and fast asleep. The Bible said at the midnight cry, they all slumbered and slept. You know, the Pentecostal people love to feel like the Baptist is asleep. And the Assemblies of God love to feel like the Church of God is asleep. And the Church of God loves to feel like the Pentecostal Holiness is asleep. And the UPC likes to feel like all of them asleep. But tonight I want you to know that the UPC is asleep. The Church of God is asleep. The Assemblies of God is asleep. And the Baptist is asleep. And the Methodist is asleep. For the Bible said at the midnight cry, all of them was asleep. Every one of them was asleep. There wasn't any of them awake at the midnight cry. There was not one person awake at the midnight cry. Every one of them was hard and fast asleep when that midnight cry was given. Then you say, Brother Pike, if all of them was asleep, then who gave the midnight cry? God said, behold, I set watchmen upon your wall that shall never hold their peace. And at the midnight cry, the watchmen gave the cry. They gave the cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. We're living in such a day that if a preacher gets up and preaches the truth, you'll see a half a dozen people that they'll die up from under the tent. You know why? Because they don't know God. They've never been acquainted with God. They've been indoctrinated with some denominational philosophy, some doctrine, some idea of somebody, and they don't know God. And just as quick as you cut across their pedestal out the road door they go. If they had God, they wouldn't dare do a thing like that. Amen. The same yesterday, today, and forever, that's the nature of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ wouldn't do a thing like that. Hallelujah. And so then at the midnight cry, they all was asleep, my brothers and sisters. Every one of them was asleep. Somebody said, how did you know, Brother Pike? Because I preach to the Assemblies of God. I preach to their churches. I preach to their people on the tent. I preach in the Church of God. I preach in the UPC. I preach in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. I preach to the Baptist and to the Methodist and to the Catholic and the Presbyterian. I preach to all of them. Every one of them is asleep. Well, they all was asleep at the midnight cry. And the great cry was given, and not only are they asleep, but I'll tell you something, most of their preachers are asleep. Most of their preachers are asleep. A survey was taken in one of the leading Pentecostal churches a number of years ago, and the survey showed that the preachers didn't average 15 minutes per day. And they catch on the laity. And the laity didn't average 3 minutes a day prayer. When the Bible said to pray always and to pray without ceasing, we're to continually pray. I'll tell you right now, we need some calluses on our knees from prayers, folks. Amen. I said, we need some calluses on our knees from prayer. Back there when they destroyed Jerusalem, the people feared God so much that a man by the name of James, who prayed so much he had calluses on his knees like a camel, and that great calamity befell Jerusalem. The people had so much confidence in James, they believed that the thing happened because of what they did to James back there. We need some calluses on our knees. We need to spend some time in the night. The Bible says you ministers lay in the altars all night long and howl for the people of God. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel God's Spirit here tonight. I feel the power of God here tonight. Hallelujah. How many believe God gives you power? The Bible said, behold, I give unto you power. God gives you power. God gives you power to heal. God gives you power to raise the dead. God gives you power over devils and demons, affliction and everything of the devil. Hallelujah. I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. You know what's wrong with the people tonight? They're still following after that same thing that happened to Adam and Eve in the garden. That same episode that took place in the garden, that thing is still taking place tonight. Instead of following the Word of God, instead of listening to the Word of God, Eve took up enough time to listen to a voice that she wasn't familiar with. She began to listen to a voice that she shouldn't have listened to. And there she began to listen to that voice, something began to take place. Something that wasn't right. As she began to listen to the voice of the serpent, something began to take place. And her heart became polluted. And her mind became polluted. And she suddenly found herself leaving the favor and leaving the grace of God. Amen. Let me tell you something tonight. When we listen to a strange voice, that's when we begin to get into trouble. God wants us tonight to take hold of His Word, to take hold of His voice, to take hold of His mind. God wants us to listen to the minister tonight. God wants us to get a hold of that Word tonight. Did you know the only way that you're ever going to get out of this world alive is through the Word of God? Did you know if you're sick tonight, the only way you'll ever be healed is through the Word of God? How do you know that? The Bible said God sent His Word and healed them. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, I can pray for you from now until Jesus comes. I can pray for you and every other minister can pray for you. But I'll tell you something, you're not going to get healed until you receive the Word of God. When a minister gets up here and preaches the Word, what is he doing? He's trying to take away your sickness. He's trying to take away your sins. When a man gets up here and he discerns your spirit, and he tells you what you're thinking, and he tells you what's going on in your heart, how did he do that? He did that by the Word. Jesus said, it's not me that doeth the work, but the Word on the inside. It's the Heavenly Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was the Heavenly Father. And He says, my Father that doeth the work. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. That's the trouble with the world today. Evangelists are trying to do it without the Heavenly Father. But Jesus said, it's not by power or might, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And what kind of Spirit is that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And Jesus said, my words, they're Spirit. When a man discerns your thoughts, you know how he does it? The Bible said the Word is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If he's a God man, if he's got the Word, that Word will go out, that Spirit will go out, and it'll discern the thoughts of your heart. It'll tell you what's going on in your heart. If somebody casts the devil out, you know how he did it? By the Word, for the Bible said he cast out the unclean spirits by his Word. If somebody brings you healing, you know how that they did it? By the Word of the living God. For the Bible said He sent His Word and healed them. How can we be healed tonight? By faith. When the minister preaches the Word of God, if you put faith in it. When the minister preaches the Word of God, then faith begins to take over. Something begins to happen, my brothers and sisters. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. When we begin to praise the Word and love the Word and magnify the Word, you say, how can I do that? His name is Jesus. I said, His name is Jesus. I said, the name of that Word is Jesus. Hallelujah. And we begin to talk about Jesus. And we begin to make love to Jesus. And we begin to tell everybody about Jesus and praise the name of Jesus. Then something begins to happen, my brothers and sisters. Can you say amen? Eve got in trouble. You know why she got in trouble? She done like a lot of folks today. Come on now. What causes her to get in trouble? A lot of people are getting the Baptist church and they start listening to the Baptist instead of the Word. Come on. I said some people get in the Church of God, they start listening to the Church of God instead of the Word. Some people get in the assemblies of God, they start listening to the assemblies of God and steal the word. Eve had a word from God. And that word said, the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. He just as sure as you disobey my word, you're going to die. But Eve didn't believe that. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I believe she did, but she didn't. If she'd have believed the word, she'd have never disobeyed it. You don't disobey the word when you believe the word, folks. It's when you disbelieve the word that you disobey it. Is that right? So then she disobeyed the word. The word said, Eve, thou shalt surely die. But another voice said, thou shalt not surely die. No, Eve, thou shalt not surely die. The preacher gets up here and he preaches to you about sin. And he tells you that the soul that sinned shall surely die. And he tells you what you have to do to have eternal life. And he tells you what you have to do to stay away from sin. But another little voice whispers in your ear. An old beastly part of mankind begins to talk to him. An old carnal mind that's sinned to God begins to talk with him. And something begins to say, thou shalt not surely. All you can do a little bit over here and a little bit over there. After all, your pastor does it. I've seen the evangelist do it. And sister so-and-so, she does it. And brother so-and-so, after all, I don't think it's really too bad to you. After all, somebody said God's going to save us in spite of ourselves. It doesn't matter how we live. Somebody said God's going to save us anyway. Somebody said, why? Because of grace. God's going to save us for grace. Did you know today people are preaching grace across the nation? And they're telling people that God's going to save them because of grace. Because of grace, God's going to save them. Are you listening? But let me tell you something. My Bible tells me to perfect holiness unto God. Perfecting holiness unto the Lord. Hallelujah. There's a grace, all right? There's a dispensational grace that allows for every dirty, evil, filthy thing there is. There's a dispensational grace that God has given to mankind to give the saints of God time to prepare and get in the righteousness of God that they might escape the damnation of hell. There's a grace, a dispensational grace that lasts us for a period of time. And during that time, you can feel the Spirit of God. During that time, you can feel the things of God coming down from heaven and healing, in discernment, in prosperity, and the many blessings that God's ordained for man to have during the period of grace. But I want you to know that when that dispensational grace comes to an end, and it will come to an end, after that there is no more grace. There is no more healing. There is no more prosperity. There is no more blessings. There is no more that comes down from God. It's coming to an end. Are you listening? I'm going to say something tonight and I want you to hear it. I want you to hear it tonight. When that grace comes to an end, my brothers and sisters, that's all of it. That's all of it. And they that continue in sin, and they that have failed to repent of their sins, and they that have failed to turn to God, when that dispensational grace is over, they are at an end. God isn't going to save any of them. I want you to know this tonight. Your preacher may stand in the pulpit and tell you that grace is going to take you in. But I want you to know tonight that when that dispensation of grace is finished, I want you to understand one thing. That when God takes away the dispensation of grace, there won't be anyone saved after that. You understand what I'm saying? Now you say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I want you to listen tonight, folks. I want to drop some thoughts into your mind. And I want you to think on them tonight. How did the devil ever get into this thing to start with? Come on, are you listening? How did he ever get in there to start with? The Bible said in the days of Job, he went right up into the presence of God. Right into the presence of God he went. How did he ever get up there to start with? How was it that Satan ever got into heaven to start with? Up there in the presence of God, when that woman stood on the moon in travail, fixing to bring forth a man child, and the devil was there, Satan was there, the red dragon was there. How did he get there? How did he ever get up there where the woman was to start with? You know how he did it? You know how he did it? You know how he did it? He did it by grace. He did it by grace. Somebody said, now wait, Brother Pike. Grace is to the believers. Grace is to the believers. But let me tell you something tonight. Friend, the Bible said the devil believes. The devil believes. It said if you believe it's one God, you do well. The devil believes too. The devil's a believer too. How do you know that? The devil believes too. And if you think you're going to heaven because you believe in grace, then you're wrong, my brother. You're wrong. You say, but Brother Pike, then tell me one thing. Why has God got all these preachers out here preaching grace to them? God's got them out there preaching grace to the brute beast of this world because he has given grace to them. And God wants them to be encouraged by those preachers until this day of grace is over. He wants them to be encouraged. And the trumpet gives an uncertain sound. And nobody knows how to prepare themselves to the battle. And those preachers keep preaching to them. And they keep on doing their wicked things. And God keeps letting them be encouraged that they might continue on in this world to carry on the things that they're doing, my brothers and sisters. Until God finishes with this world, he's got to have somebody to encourage them, to let them go on their religious practices and formalities until this world is finished, until it finishes its purpose. During all that period of time, while they're preaching grace, there's somebody else is preaching. He's preaching grace too, but he's not preaching a dispensational grace that will allow for sin and evil. But he's preaching grace unto salvation. For the Bible said the grace unto salvation has appeared to all men, teaching them that denying worldliness and worldly lust and ungodliness, that they should live righteously and soberly in this present world. That's another kind of grace. You understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. Under the law, they were stoned to death when they disobeyed God. Under the law, they went down. And today, God hasn't changed one jot and one tittle. Not one jot and one tittle. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, don't you believe we're going to get in by grace? I admit we're going to get in by grace. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. God's expecting every jot and tittle of that law to be fulfilled. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, you don't believe that we can fulfill it. The Bible said that love fulfills the law. And God is the spirit of love. And God's on the inside of our heart. And God don't transgress his laws. But God fulfills his laws. Hallelujah. God strives to perfection within us. Hallelujah. Paul said, we wish this even the perfecting of your faith. Oh, church world, let me tell you something tonight. God's got something great for you. God's got something great for you tonight. If thou hast an ear, canst thou hear what the Spirit saith unto the church tonight? Can you hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church? But the Bible said it's not you that speaketh, but the Heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. Somebody said, saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's good. Somebody said, it's one work and two works and three works. That's good. Amen. They say, how do you say it? I say it the way the Bible says it. How's the Bible say it? The Bible said that God has sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ on the tree. That's the way I was sanctified. How was you sanctified? I was sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Now then, the Bible said God also wants perfection. Is that right? Then how do I get perfect? Somebody said, if you don't smoke, if you don't drink, if you change your form of dressing, if you change your ways of life and modes and means and measures of life. But that wasn't the way I read it. The way that I read it, the Bible said, God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He sanctified us once and for all by the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ at Calvary, and he's perfected forever them that are sanctified. How many feel perfect tonight? You know what? Somebody said, but Brother Pike, God set a fivefold ministry here. I believe that. Of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And he set them here to perfect us. I believe that. But then what is it that they are perfecting? What is it they are perfecting? Paul said, we wish this, even the perfecting of your faith. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I feel like if I quit smoking, then I'm going to be closer to God. If that's true, there's a lot of doctors that got closer to God because there's hundreds and thousands of them quit. Amen. Somebody said, I feel like if I quit going out here to dances, I'm going to be a little closer to God. That's good. But I want to tell you something. There's a lot of men that don't go to dances because they don't favor another man hugging their wife. Amen. But that don't make them no better. Are you listening? Amen. There's a lot of things you can do, my brother and sister. But the Bible said we wish this even the perfecting of your faith. How can we do that? From glory to glory, from word to word, from faith to faith, from revelation to revelation. Amen. Even the perfecting of your faith. Faith by the hearing of the word. As we preach the word, as God gives you the word,
The Bible said God gave the word, and great was the multitude of them that published it. Are you a publisher of the word tonight? Hallelujah. Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. There was Brother Adam and Sister Eve. Perfect people. Now I want you to listen to this. Wasn't nobody no better than they was. And there they was in the garden. But I said last night, they didn't have eternal life. Did you follow me last night? I said they didn't have eternal life. We'll pick up here just for a little bit. Those people in the garden didn't have eternal life. And I'd met a little repercussion, you know, from that. I'd had a little dispute on it. But I said they didn't have eternal life. Now then, if they had eternal life, they could never have died. Because eternal life means to never die. But the Bible said, the day thou eatest thou shalt surely die. And they were able to die. That means they did not have eternal life. Then you say, but Brother Pike, where was they and what were they doing? They were in the presence of the Shekinah glory. They were under the Shekinah, in the presence of the Shekinah. They lived in the Shekinah, and they walked in the Shekinah, and God protected them, and God kept them well. Just like the days of grace. Just like the days of grace. As long as this grace is here, you're in the presence of the Shekinah. You can walk in the Shekinah. This Adam that we see, and this Eve that we see, they're walking in the Shekinah. We're in the land of milk and honey. You can have what you want, folks. Walking in the days of grace. But let me tell you something. There came a day in the garden when that grace was over. That came a day when they listened to the wrong voice. I've got a feeling that America today is listening to the wrong voice. What about it? I said I believe America's listening to the wrong voice. God didn't tell them to go to the evil places of this world. God said, come out from among the world. Be not partakers of the evil. Come on, folks. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. All that's of the world is the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And the Bible said the lust of the flesh in the world passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Are you listening? Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. You say don't love this world. Somebody said, but I got a scripture I want to quote you. What is it? Somebody said, I can tell you what it is. What is that scripture? For God so loved the world. There you are. Somebody said, there you are. Bless your heart, Brother Pike. If God so loved the world, then we can so love it too. Amen? Come on, you believe the devil's smart. You believe the devil's crafty. And the devil said, God so loved the world. Oh, now somebody said, but now the devil don't quote scripture. But when Jesus was up on top of that mountain up there, the devil took him up there and showed him all the king of the world. Said, look at here. Look at here. Don't you know that God so loved the world? Amen. Look at here, Jesus. Up here on the top of this mountain, all this belongs to me. I give it to whomsoever I will. Jesus didn't dispute that because he knew Satan was a prince of this world. And told Peter, when he rebuked Peter, said, Satan, save us the things that be of the world and the flesh. All right?
That's right.
He's the prince of this world. Come on, are you listening? God, let the devil take Jesus up here on this pinnacle. Took him up here in this great high place. Took him over to a high mountain. Showed him all the kings of the world. And then the devil said to him, I want to quote you some scripture. Come on. Well, you didn't know the devil's a Bible scholar, did you? I'll tell you one thing. I hate to have to admit this, but the devil's a lot better Bible scholar than some of the preachers we got. Amen, folks. I said he knows it better. You read over there where he quoted Jesus. He never missed a word. Go back and check it according to Scripture. He said, cast yourself down from here, for thus it is written. He will give his angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up in all thy ways, lest thou should dash thy foot against the stone. Somebody would have said, aha, don't even need a parachute. God's with me, so I jumped off there and busted the brains out. Come on. Somebody said, that's the voice of God. Now you say, Brother Pike, don't be comical. Nobody would do that. But God's told a lot of you over in one place, you're like Balaam. He told a lot of you. He said, thou shalt have one husband and one wife. Come on. Amen. I said, he said, one at a time. That's all he said. Amen. Somebody came to me one time and said, Brother Pike, God told me it would be all right if I go ahead and marry this person. He said, what do you think about it? I said, go ahead. Balaam. What do you mean? God told Balaam not to do them things to start with, didn't he? When God tells you in the Word, don't do it, and that preacher gets up and preaches the Word to you, you better let that be it. Don't start wrestling around now, you're going to get in trouble. Don't try to change the word. Don't alter the word. The word said in heaven, that preacher gets up there and says that, you say, amen. How many can say amen? Amen. Praise God, the word said it. But the word says, Eve, thou shalt not eat thereof. But the devil quote a little scripture too. Thou shalt not surely, he said. Amen. He knew he couldn't tell her, that it really wouldn't happen. But it said, thou shalt not surely. Is that right? Amen. Eve, she reached over there, and when she partook of that old carnal mind, the very minute she did it, the power of unbelief cut her off from God. Now I want you to get this. Immediately she was cut off from God. But did you notice that she didn't die immediately? You know why she didn't? Because in the Old Testament, it had to be, folks, that the head had to commit the wrong. See, it wasn't charged to the woman. It had to be charged to the man. God did not turn them out of that garden until that thing got to the head. You understand what I'm saying? Let a snake bite you, let the poison get in there, it's got to hit the heart of the brain. Is that right? And so nothing happened to her. Nothing took place. But when she got back, and she whispered in the ears of Adam. And Adam said, no, no, Eve. But she said, thou shalt not surely, Adam. Thou shalt not surely, that's what he told me. And said, besides that, Adam said, it's real good. Amen. So this is real good. Adam, yes, God too said it opens your eyes. It makes you see things. How do you know the devil can open your eyes and make you see things? But I'm going to tell you something, some things you ought not see. There's some things that you don't need to see, folks. Is that right? Somebody said, what would that be, Brother Pye? The Bible says, shown the very appearance of evil. You don't need to look at evil. You don't need to look at the things of the world. God wants us to be virtuous. God wants a virtuous church. God wants a virtuous wife. Amen. I feel good, don't you? Amen. Thou shalt not surely. Thou shalt not surely eat this art. You could just partake just a little bit, you know. Amen. I'm sorry, it don't make any difference. I could say a whole lot here, but I better not. You might excommunicate me. Let me tell you something, folks. When he said, thou shalt not surely. But you remember God said, thou shalt surely. You understand what I'm saying? The devil said, thou shalt not surely. But God said, the day thou eatest thou shalt surely. Thou shalt surely. And tonight I want to tell you something. When the preacher preaches the word and God gives you the word, and when the word of God comes into your heart and into your mind, folks, I want you to know something tonight. That when God does that, he means every jot and every tittle. Every jot, every tittle. If you want to be a happy person, then go to God. A lot of people have lost the joy of their salvation. They've not lost their salvation, but like David, they've lost the joy of their salvation. They used to have a jubilee in their heart. They used to be rejuvenated with the powers of God from time to time. They used to be activated in their heart and soul with that great eternal spirit. And they could shout and praise God and sing and like David run through a troop and leap over a wall. Amen. They had joy, abundance of joy. They had the blessings of God, didn't they? But something took place. You say, what was it, Brother Pye? They lost the joy of their salvation. Amen. Hear that thing howling out there tonight? That's because somebody listened to that word, not surely. Amen. That's why it's crying out there tonight. But if you could talk to some of them, perhaps it's in that thing that they're going after, they tell you right then and there, thou shalt surely. Thou shalt surely. God's word don't lie, folks. Amen. You know what happened in the book of Revelation? Over there in about 12th or 13th chapter of Revelation, 12th chapter, when John saw the woman on the moon. You know what took place? You got time to listen just a few minutes tonight. Amen. When that woman stood on the moon, you know what was taking place over there? God was bringing forth a man-child. Amen. God was bringing forth a man-child. Is that right? That woman stood on the moon. Who was that woman? Who was that woman? Who was that woman? God shows everything in types and shadows. How do you believe that? How do you believe that? Paul spoke of Abraham's wives back there and said they were typical of old and new Jerusalem. Is that right? Hagar and Sarah. Is that right? Show them things are typical. Paul said all the invisible things of God from the creation of the world, they have a type here somewhere, and that they are understood by these visible things that you can see with your natural eyes. Is that right? God, who is an invisible spirit, is trying to take a visible, tangible substance and give us a tangible mind. Give us a mind of understanding of natural things that we might understand those thoroughly. And then after a while, that will vanish away. And then we'll see the reality of it. Are you following me?
Yeah.
I don't want to get off in too deep of water tonight and get you drowned.
Go ahead.
I want you to listen now. Are you listening? And so then this woman was on the moon. Does that bring anything back to you tonight? Yeah. I said the woman was on the moon. The woman was on the moon. How many know that America's a woman nation? How many know that America's a woman nation? Listen now. It said the woman was on the moon. Are you listening? America's a woman nation. Is that right? And she was bringing forth a man child. She was bringing forth a man child. Is that right? How many know that right now? The president's in every capacity of life. They're looking for somebody that can rule the world. They're looking for somebody that can handle the situation. And did you know the devil's got somebody? The Antichrist is standing right around the corner. Come on. Did you know that on this trip we're going to stop over in Belgium on the way back. Here in Belgium, oh, I just wish I could get into Revelation with you tonight, but I know it won't do. But coming back from Belgium, when we stop over there, we're going to see what they call the beast. They've got a machine over there, and this machine is 3 stories high, and it's called the beast. It's a great computer system. Did you know this machine, in about 18 minutes, done what it would take a man 1,000,000 years to do? Are you listening? They checked it and set the machine in 18 minutes. What it would take a man 1,000,000 years to do. And said it would take a calculator 60,000 years to do it. But in 18 minutes, the big machine did it. You say, what does that mean, Brother Pike? They call it the beast. They call it the beast. What does that mean? That means that by the use of that great gigantic machine, that great brain, that one man can rule the world. That at last one man can rule the world. With that great machine of man, just one individual can tell how many potatoes there are in the world. How many boxes of cereal there is in the world. Have you noticed the little computer system of the little number, the digit that they got on everything now? Have you noticed that? Even on the packages of chewing gum. Everything's getting right. Have you got any honest face cards lately? Amen. Said it would come into your head. Come on, folks. It's a lot closer than you think it is. Said it would come into the head. I made the statement years ago. I said, watch it. It'll drop down through the social security number. They'll do away with the gold. They'll do away with the money. After a while, they'll come up with a card. I said, and the social security number will begin to abound. They've done away with the serial number in the army. Now they use your social security number. You go after your driver's license. Now they use your social security number. Come on. I said, you're a lot farther along than you think. Did you know that the devil has worked it around to where everything in this world's under numbers? Go to buy you a suit, it tells you how much by numbers. Go to drive down the road, and the law says you'll do it by numbers. Buy your tag and stick it on, they say they'll check you by numbers. Go to buy your piece of meat from the store, they say we'll weigh it out to you on numbers. Go to reach your life bill, you get it by numbers. And you get it to the church to get away from it, and they stick a number board up. Come on, folks. I said things are taking place. Things are taking place. There's something that's happening. There's something that's taking place. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I mean that this great gigantic machine, do you know where it's located? It's located in Belgium, and it's located right at the headquarters of this great move that's supposed to come up from those nations over there, the common markets of Europe. There's 10 of them. Isn't it strange that that machine just happened to be right in the same place where the headquarters of the common nations are, where the 10 common nations is, with the Bible said that head of that beast, that brain, that intelligence would have 10 horns. I said, isn't that very strange? Isn't that strange? Come on, folks. Come on, folks. How many of you know, we made a statement not too long ago. We said it cut a road that would come down from Russia and come down from China and move down through there and go down to Jerusalem and down to Arabia. I got a reading the other day. Did you know they did it? Did you know that they did it? Did you know the river Euphrates, springing up from the Mount Ararat in about a wild mile moat, flows about 1,870 miles down to the Persian Gulf? And did you know that Russia has built a bridge across there and all the way from Syria down to the Persian Gulf that they can cut the waters off at any time? I made the statement, I said, what's the great river Euphrates, one of the oldest rivers in the world? I said, they'll dry up the waters because the Bible said so. It said in that day the waters of the Euphrates shall be dried up to make way for the kings of the east. Are you listening? John said that, beloved. I want you to listen to this. Old brother John got a vision, and he saw those horsemen riding, and in those horsemen he began to examine that thing, and they come up with 200 million horsemen riding across there, and he saw the way it dried up. China has come down through that. Don't you listen? China has come down through that. China let a $400 million loan out to aid Russia in coming through that in the work that they were trying to do. Are you listening?
Yeah.
All right, then they're coming down through that heading for the valley of Jehoshaphat. For the Bible said in that day, that valley shall be filled with blood and it shall flow up to the horse's bridle. This is why we're going to Jerusalem. This is why we're leaving Tuesday to go over to the Holy Land. God is doing something. All of these great roads, all of these great trails lead right down to it. And the Bible said in that day there shall come an evil thought in the mind of Gog and Magog, and they shall say one to another, let us go up to take for ourselves a spoil of the city with the unfenced walls. That is to say, because of the oil, because of the great minerals in the Dead Sea alone, there's more wealth in it than all the wealth of the world. Now then they're finding this out, and they're just competing for the control of the world through landing on the moon. They're going to have to fight over it to see who gets the hold of it. Are you listening? Yeah. Wow, there's so much I'd like to say tonight.
Yeah.
Amen. Just give me a few more minutes. I ain't going to hold you long.
Yeah.
Well, here they come down to the river. Coming down the river, you slay teeth. You understand what I'm saying? When they come down to that, what about it? China, you know, has been trying to get across the Himalayan mountains and they haven't been able to do it for years. Finally, they decide to go around by iron over on the northern side and cut through there, and they made it. Why? Because the Bible said that 200 million horsemen have to go across that river to drop down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, where they're going to have the battle, and God will gather the nation together in that day. Are you listening?
Yeah.
You say, Brother Pike, 200 million men. Did you know that when John made that statement, there wasn't a lot of people in the world? There wasn't even America over here.
Right.
There they were settled in America. 200 million people, that'd been a lot of people. Somebody would say, that man must be out of his mind. Talk about 200 million horsemen. But did you know that just recently, just since Russia's got the bridge over, just recently, China boasted themselves of a 200 million man army. Are you listening? Those ruthless Caesars, Gog and Magog. Amen. Ruthless people. I heard how that those people, I had a friend that come from Russia, and he told me how that he was in the mess that happened over there when communists took over. And he said, Brother Pike, this is the truth. And he began to tell me the evil that befell him. And some of you remember Johnny Lee. And this man told how that they dug trenches and they lined people up and they put wires in their hands. And those people, they pushed them off into the ditch. And then they covered the ditch all the way up to the head. And then they took the ruthless Caesars on the horses and they turned those horses loose and they trampled the brains of those people out. Come on, folks. Somebody said, I ain't interested in religion. I'm not worried about it. Oh, but when the horses start cramping the brains out, it's going to make a difference. Amen. Now then, listen for just a few moments here. They boast of themselves of 200 million men. What does it mean? Look in the book of Revelation. The Bible said over there after the chapter 13, when the beast was personified, John said he looked, and he said there was a white cloud, and from that white cloud there came someone, and this angel sat upon that white cloud. Is that right?
Yeah.
And the Bible said a voice spoke, and this voice said, cast in thy sickle, set for the grapes of the earth are fully ripe. The Bible said he cast in the sickle and he reaped the vine. Then there came another one having power over fire. And a voice cried out. And the voice said, cast in thy sickle and reap the vine of the earth. You ever heard the old saying that went through the grapevine?
Yes.
You ever heard that?
Yes, sir.
Said, reap the vine. Gather the vine. And the Bible said that the grapes were gathered. Now would you listen? Listen now. Said the grapes were gathered. And then the Bible said that God took those grapes. He took those grapes. Are you listening? And the Bible said he sold them into the wine press of the Almighty God. And the Bible says that those grapes were trod without the city. It says that they trod the wine press without the city. Are you listening? You say, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say this one thing, that God said in that day he'd gather all nations against Israel. In that day, every nation would gather against Israel. Is that right? In that hour and in that time, he would gather them all together. Are you listening, folks? And say, what hour is that? That's why we're going to Jerusalem. That's why we're leaving Tuesday to go to the holy city. And he said, in that day, those grapes were gathered together. And he said, he cast them into the winepress of the Almighty God. What is that? That's them nations that he's gathering together. Gathering the nations from every wind of the earth. Gathering them all together. What is he doing with it? He's going to pull them into the winepress. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, what is the winepress? How many know that the Jews is God's winepress? How do you know that God's winepress is the Jews? And the Bible says the winepress was trod without the city, and the blood went 1,500 furlong, and the blood came up to the horse's bridle. Come on. Amen. Said God gathered all them nations in there against Jerusalem, and it stood and said, I'm for Israel. Ooh, feel something. I said the day of the Gentiles is about gone. You understand what I mean? Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. 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 Something's happening. Amen. Nations are breaking. Israel's awakening. The signs of the prophets foretold. You believe that they're foretold? Gentile days numbered, with horrors encumbered, should return. Return! Oh, disperse unto thine own. That's why I'm going to Israel. And it is written that day, out of Zion shall come forth a deliverer, and he shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob, and the whole house of Israel shall be saved. And he said, cast in thy sickle. And the Bible said that the winepress was trod, and the nations gathered together, and nation upon nation began to spill their blood, until it was called the valley of the blood, to fulfill the prophecy of the prophets of old. Are you listening? Something's taking place. Folks, I'm going to stop right here. Amen. I'm right in the middle of a revelation. And how I wish I could go on. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop right here. I believe I've said enough tonight to let you know that I'm telling you the truth. How many believe that? How many believe that? To let you know I'm telling you the truth tonight. Something's taking place. I want you to stand with me, folks. I want you to stand up with me tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the presence of Jehovah. Oh, I feel the presence of God. I told him the other night, I said, folks, you don't know it. I said, but that Christ has come. Thy kingdom be done on this earth and praise in heaven. Oh, let me tell you something tonight. I said, he's here. Brother Taylor says he's here. I said, you don't see him. You don't see him because he said, I'll return the second time without sin unto salvation to them that look for me. I said, you don't see him, but I said, he's here. And did you know that a great man of God, one that's been away for many years, went to sleep that night, and he began to have a night vision, and a voice said in the night vision to him, said, Shiloh is come. Oh, it shook him up. It shook him up. Amen. It shook him up. He said, Brother Pike said, it didn't say Shiloh has come. It didn't put it in the past. Said it didn't say Shiloh is coming. We put it in the future, but he said, Shiloh is come. He said, I began to thumb around and search to see what the name Shiloh meant. Said, when I found it, said, I looked and the word Shiloh means Messiah. Come on, folks. What did the prophet say? And the scepter shall not depart from Jacob, nor a lawgiver from between thy feet, until Shiloh be come. And the voice said, Shiloh is come. Oh, I feel something, folks. I hope you ain't waited too long. Amen. I hope you ain't waited too long. Amen. I hope you ain't waited too long. And if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be but resurrection from the dead? Oh my, something's happening. Let me say this right hurriedly. Right hurriedly. While she starts playing on the organ, if she doesn't mind. I just want to drop a thought in here. And I want you to listen. We're at the end of the way. Now listen, folks. The Bible said, come and let us reason together. Although thy sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Now listen. Now listen. Hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Listen. Did you know that one of the greatest prophets that ever walked the earth said by 77 he saw America in ashes? How many of you know that? By 77 he saw America in ashes. Now I want you to listen. The other day, over at Little Bethlehem, the state men come down on us. Come on, Eilis. I said the state men come down, and they begin to quiz us, and they begin to tell us what they would do and what they wouldn't do, and what we could do and what we couldn't do. I said, sir, let me tell you something. I said, the Bible said the righteous is as bold as a lion. I said, there ain't nothing hid here, and there ain't nothing you can do. Amen. I said, let me tell you something else. I said, I'll do anything to stay within the radius of the law. I said, but if your law cuts across the Word of God, I said, I want to tell you here and now, I'm staying with the Word of God no matter what you say or anybody else. They took one look at me, and they said, we can see that we ain't going to change your mind. Amen. I said, not only that, but we'll go to Washington if you want to. Amen. They said, look, Brother Pike. Said, look, Brother Pike. Said, would you come by the way of Atlanta, Georgia, and have a conference with our leading men up there before you go to Washington? I said, I'll go up there. I went to Atlanta, Georgia, and sat down in the Capitol, and those fellas literally sat there and almost trembled. And they said, now, Brother Pike, said, we don't want to bother you. We don't want to do anything wrong. Said, we want to help you. I said, all right. I said, well, let me tell you something, Joe. I said, me and you are going to stand before God. I said, I don't want to stand before an angry God. I said, I don't want to stand before an angry God. I said, things will become corrupt. Things will become corrupt. Oh, and I begin to witness to them and tell them about Jesus. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Not too long ago, they pulled us before a judge. Went over before a judge. Had to go before a judge. Got over before the judge and took Brother Taylor with me. And I began to talk to that old judge, and that judge began to rub his hands. And tears began to come in his eyes. And he said, I feel like Pilate. He said, I feel like Pilate. I said, judge, I said, did you know that Jesus saves, he saves judges too? I said, God saves judges too. I said, would you like to be a Christian? And he nodded his head that he would. I said, come on, Brother Taylor. And we went over and laid hands on him. He gave his heart to God. We still want out. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm feeling better and better. Amen. Shiloh has come. Amen. He's been doing something for God. But he stood up the other night. He said, it's breaking off. Folks said, you can't do it like you used to do. This man's got a gift in his life. Things happen. You understand what I'm saying? What is it? Now listen. 70 men. Jesus picked out 70 of them. Is that right? 70 of them. Mighty men of God. And the Bible said they cast out devils. They done miracles. And they came to Jesus. And they said, Lord, the devils are subject. Didn't say subject to Jesus. Come on. Behold, I give you power. Said they're subject to us, God. Through thy name. How do you know the devil's subject to you tonight? The only reason he kicks you around is because you won't believe he's subject to you. Jesus said, tell him to get behind you. Come on, tell him to get behind you, folks. Amen. You got the victory over him. Ooh, I feel something. Amen. Difference in the word. This word will bring that faith up and that faith will heal. He said his word to heal him. 70. They've done great miracles. But after a while, something happened. After a little bit, something took place. 70 great deliverers. Jesus walked up to him one day and he said, gentlemen, you've done great and mighty works. Great things has taken place. How do you know that?
These 10 evangelists across the field done mighty powerful works. And he walked up to them. He said, now I want you to take one more step with me. He said, you've cast out devils. You've healed the sick. He said, but I want you to drink my blood. Come on. I want you to drink my blood now, son. Amen. He said, here, eat my flesh. Oh, they said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We're not accountable. Now look at here. Now we can cast out devils. We've had great revivals, but this man must be out of his mind. And they all lost their ministry. Come on. He turned around to 12 more. And he said, well, folks, he said, what about you? Amen. They said, Lord, said we can't go nowhere. Why not? Said, Lord, we thought this thing over, said there ain't nowhere to go. Amen. The world's crumbling. Everything's polluted, the schools and the colleges. Everything, the government, the law, homes, hearts, minds. Oh my, ain't nowhere to go. You know what? Little brother Joseph had been kicked around by the brethren. Come on. One day, he went down to Egypt and found himself a wife. How do you know that civilization springs up from Egypt? Come on. How do you now know the Gentiles got to start from over there? And when the Jews rejected Jesus, he just dropped over here in Egypt. Come on. Said, I'm looking for a wife. Old brother Joseph got him a wife. Amen. Liked her pretty good, too. Amen. He lived with her, stayed with her. But one day, them brethren had kicked him around. They nailed him to the cross, didn't they? Went down to the deep dungeon like Joseph did. Amen. The priest of them souls in prison, isn't that right? How do you know that he came into this heart when a soul was in prison? You know, this is made out of the dust. He went down to the heart of this earth. He'd been preaching to the soul in prison. I heard him one day say, Lazarus, come forth. Take off the grave clothes. Come on out, Lazarus. Come on out. You don't have to stay in there. Roll away the stone. I'll take out that heart of stone, that old law that was cut yonder at Mount Sinai. I'll place within you a heart of flesh and write my laws upon the table of your heart. And the word was made flesh. Are you listening? Roll away the stone. Roll away the stone. One day them brethren begin to get hungry. And they begin to look. Had to come over to Egypt. Why? Because it's written out of Zion shall come forth the deliverer. And then brethren came in. Now listen, 12 of them didn't leave him. And the tribes came in. And God just spoke something to me then. And the tribes came in. And old brother Joseph, he act kind of hard, you know. He act like he wasn't going to befriend them at all. He was kind of upset with them because of the way they'd done him. But them little old frail fellas kept looking up with nothing to eat. Old Joseph, he choked back the tears. After a while, he choked and he choked and he choked. Finally, he screamed out, said, you Egyptians, get out of your head. I'm through with your head. The days of the Gentiles over. Get out of here. And them brethren come running in there, and he bawled and he bawled and he bawled and he bawled. And they said, where did you get the nails? So I got them in the house of my friends. Them that was closest to me. Are you listening, folks? Are you listening?
Hallelujah.
In the middle of this year, the middle of this year, America ends 200 years of government. I'm going to let you go in just 2 minutes. 200 years of government, they ended. Did you know it is a proven scientific fact that no government, never in the history of the world, has ever stood more than 200 years? And this one isn't going to stand over 200 years, folks. Now I want to ask you a question. In just a month or two, this government is finished. That means another government's coming in from somewhere. She's already moving in. You just ain't seen it. I didn't see it. Some of you might have seen it, but I've done seen it. God showed it to me and showed me how it was coming in. And I want you to know it's already got a hold right now. I mean in a great way. Now I want to ask you this question. Do you believe that the world is going to stand long enough to have another 200-year government. Everybody believes that we'll only see hand. All right? You don't believe that, do you? Whole world's too wicked, ain't it? All right, then what's going to happen? There's going to be a short government. An Antichrist government. A short government. Just for 2 or 3 years. Is that right? And it's going to be a cruel regime. One of the cruelest ever been on the face of the earth. And then shortly after that, the head of the nations coming in, Jerusalem. The Jews. Oh, I hear that voice again. Thy will be done on earth. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. A lot of people want the will of God done in heaven. Folks, it's already done in heaven. He's wanting you to do something on this earth. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I'm getting away from you. I'm going to heaven. But according to what I understand, heaven's coming down here to me. Come on. Amen. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, what about that new earth? I'm thinking about that when it comes before the new earth. Come on. I said, what about that 1,000 years millennium reign on this earth? Oh, somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike, you don't believe that. Yes, I do. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, that's the new earth. I said, oh, the Bible said. Paul said, preach the word. Come on. My will be done 1,000 years on this earth. That little bad spell of governments that's coming up in the next few years. And we're just going to pass right through it. I know God's going to secure the church. I know that. I'm not teaching the church going through tribulation. I want you to listen. God's going to secure the church. But that little spell of government's going to be over in a little while. And then what's going to happen? Florida, Georgia, Germany, Japan, Jerusalem. Everywhere is going to turn into a garden. You believe it? How do you know that garden was in the east? When he created the world, it was in the east. How do you believe that Jerusalem's that garden over there? She's going to blossom like a rose. Watch and see. She's going to turn into a garden because it's been hid. Because Adam and Eve wasn't right. But when this garden gets right here, that garden around us get right too. Is that right? Amen. It's what caused the fall of that garden to start with. Amen. Are you listening? You listening? It's the kind of glory is coming back. It's coming back, folks. Are you listening? Just listen for just a minute now. That's why I'm going to Jerusalem. That government is going to be over. And then, Jesus, Revelation 19, he's going to stand on this earth right here. And we're going to be on this earth right here, folks. Don't that make you feel better? Somebody said, I hate to give up that old river down here. I always thought it looked so good. That lake out there and that pretty green meadow, you don't have to give it up. Them pretty trees around you, go to close your eyes in death and you think, my, I never realized this place was so pretty. You understand what I'm saying? But you don't have to give it up. Jesus made the world to be inhabited. You know that? Amen. We're going to be walking this earth right here. Somebody said, but that's the new earth. But that's not. And the Bible said the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years was finished. And then I saw a new heaven. And a new earth. Come on, folks. There's going to be another government. Amen. I hadn't got time to get in that tonight. Praise God. Amen. Folks, I love you tonight. But we're down to the threshold of eternity. If the middle of this year gets it, then that man that said next year that this place will be turned into ashes, he must have knew more than you think. Did you know the state men had come down on me? Did you know what they said? And it really rung a bell in my heart. They said, listen, preacher. Said this law was set up that we're talking to you about in the year 33. Oh, and something struck my heart. Something struck my heart. God said there's being a change. Said another man by the name of William Branham, a prophet of God, said he saw a vision in 33. And in 33, he saw the end of this in 77. And I said, that law came in 33. And here you're pouncing down upon the kingdom of God. And God's going to poke a hook in your nose. How do you know that man come against Hezekiah and begin to boast and tell Hezekiah what he would do? God said, you go out there and tell him I'm going to stick a hook in his nose. I had a fellow to rise up at me not too long ago. Amen. I sat down and wrote him a letter and I said, dear sir, there was another fellow like you one day.
And he rose up against the prophet of God. And I said, God sent him word he put a hook in his nose. I said, if that's what you want, he put a hook in your nose. That fellow never did bother me no more. Amen. Same yesterday, today, and forever. How do you believe that? He loves you, children of God. God loves you tonight. The devil's kicked you around, but God saw you tonight. God loves you. Take courage tonight in God. Hallelujah. So then, I thought 33, 77, and here that law's ready to go out. And that's what the government is a law. How do you know that? See, you govern things, control things, it all goes through the law. That's why you have to study the law to get to be a president. All right, there's so many things I want to say, but I don't want to weary you. I want you to bow your heads with me now for a moment. Close your eyes. I want you to lift your hands up, folks, here, just for a few minutes. Just a few minutes, Brother Ernie's going to come and minister to you. But I want you to lift your hands up now. Hallelujah. While you got your eyes closed, you got your hands lifted up, I want you to sing this little chorus with me. Hallelujah. Sweep over my soul. Sweep.